Hello and welcome to the podcast and a happy new year. Support us by subscribing and sharing. You can support us on Patreon and you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Joining me as always is my co-host,
Greg.
And I'm your host, Adam. You're listening to Guilty Pleasure Cinema.
Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure Cinema.
So, Happy New Year, Craig.
Happy New Year to you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, mate. So, what's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is to get something out on the Patreon.
Yeah, we do. So, we've got some ideas. We're just thinking of just trying to release as much kind of content as we can this year. And we're going to try a few things. So, we're going to try some more like reviews and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, we're going to do some stuff, you know, keep an ear to the ground on that. But until then, I have a new segment that I'd like to bring up with you right now.
Go on then.
In light of our Simpsons special, check it out a few weeks ago, the segment which got the best of kind of most positive feedback was the Simpsons Mastermind quiz.
Oh, okay.
So because of that, I am now going to each week hit you with a piece of Simpsons trivia.
Simpsons trivia. Okay,
Simpsons
go on then.
Trivia. And before we kick off, if you get the question right, you get a point. If you get the question wrong, I get a point.
And does this last throughout the year?
This will last throughout the year, and come December 2023, whoever has the most points owed a Coke.
So do I have to come up with some Simpsons trivia quiz for you then?
No, I just have to see if I can catch you out. Now, I won't go too cryptic.
Okay.
Like,
so if I don't get it, if I don't get it, it's point to you. If I get it, it's point to me.
That's exactly right.
So you can just pick out some of the most obscure fucking
I could, questions. But like I said, I won't go too... My plan is to have the questions that makes you go, ooh, wait, hang on.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ah.
Ooh.
Ah.
Okay, right. Go on then.
Okay, cool. In Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 1, who does Charles Montgomery Burns dress up as when visiting Principal Seymour Skinner in his office?
Oh, who does he
There's
dress
that
up
noise.
As? Who does he dress up as? Oh, that's a tough one.
I'll give you a clue for half a point.
Go on then.
Okay. A student.
A student?
Mm-hmm.
So he went dressed up as like Milhouse or something like that. And I don't know if he'd dress up as Ralph Nelson. Jimbo Jones.
Yes.
There you go. Got there.
Alright, half point to you.
Half point to me. Yeah, fair enough. I'll allow the half point. Thank you very much for that clue there.
Ahoy there, but, Dean.
Because for me, all I was thinking of, you know when it flashes back to something like Mr. Burns' childhood and he's like got the long curly hair.
Oh,
and the lollipop.
Yeah. And he looks like...
That was all I could have in my head. I was like, what the fuck is that?
No, yeah, he dresses up as Jimbo. So there you go, a half point to you. See you next week.
All right. So moving on to the episode, we've decided to do Victory, the 1981 movie.
Have we decided to do Victory? Because my viewing will be of Escape to Victory.
Right, so this is literally just about so. So depending on which territories you are, depending on which version you watch, this is known as Victory or Escape to Victory. I actually always knew it as Escape to Victory for some reason, but apparently the English version is Victory.
So I
don't know how I picked that up.
I feel like at one point some critic must have written it as The Great Escape to Victory. Because this movie desperately wants to be The Great Escape.
So, it's often been referred to as, Escape to Victory meets Rocky, or, Escape to Victory meets The Longest Yard.
Why is it Rocky? Is it because it's got Stallone in it, or because it's a sports movie?
Maybe that triumphant, sort of ending, or something like that. But we will definitely get on that ending.
I haven't seen this film in forever. This was growing up, this is again what we refer to as a Channel 5 movie, to the point where the streamer that I've got queued up to watch this on is in fact Channel 5. I could have paid $5.99 on Amazon, or Channel 5's got my back.
Or you could have hit the high seas.
I could have hit the high seas, but Yahara, I'd been after that.
So if you've never seen this movie before, it's about Allied POWs preparing for a soccer game against the German national team, which is to be played in Nazi-occupied Paris. The French resistance and the British officers are making plans for the team's escape. Roll trailer.
How long will it take?
Well, you must realize it's my busy time. Everybody wants to escape in the good weather.
In 1942, the Nazis thought they were sitting on top of the world, never suspecting that they could be toppled in one conflict, the most unusual battle of the war.
It has been decided that a German national team will play a combined team from the prisoners of war of the occupied territories.
That's crazy.
Okay, I'm ready to sign up.
Sign up,
eh? And you ought to be exhibited in Paris like performing fleas?
What about me?
Get out.
A stacked game. The Third Reich's finest against a ragged bunch of prisoners of war. The Germans thought they had it made.
They couldn't run about for 90 minutes. They'd be chucking their guts up.
Am I good? Or am I good?
What's your name?
You know my name.
What's your name?
I decided to join the team.
The American? No.
You use that bloody American style again here and you'll be fired.
Look, you're playing English, I play American.
Can you do it with your mouth shut?
Hey, the mouth and the hand work together. It's a team.
This match is a propaganda stunt for the Germans. It's a wonderful opportunity for us. The Allied High Command called them crazy, and maybe they were.
We want you to contact the resistance for us and arrange the escape of the football team.
But I want to thank you all for your concern, but I'm really not planning on seeing Paris until after the war.
Well, I'm an orphan. I have no parents, no money, I'm not married. I don't even have a pet. And anything I might say in my sleep to the contrary can't be held against me.
We don't want to be shot as a spy, do we?
No. I don't want to be shot as anything.
Victory, starring Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine, Max von Sydow, and introducing Pele.
How'd you like to play football against the Germans?
Why not?
Now is the time for heroes. Victory. You've never seen anything like it.
Bum, bum. Bum, ba-da-ba-dum. Not quite great escape. Didn't you?
John Huston. Where do we know that name?
African Queen.
Very good.
The Man Who Would Be King, which is a really great movie.
Very good. Oh, good knowledge.
And Annie.
He did do Annie. Yeah. I would say probably his most notable work is Chinatown.
Oh,
he directed
did he?
That.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he directed Chinatown. I will IMDb the shit out of this
Please
right now.
Please do, because I can tell you right now that that was Roman Polanski.
Oh, no, he was in it. Yep. Again, my hastily put together... It was Roman Polanski. Of course, yep. It's a fucking pedo. Allegedly. yeah. John Huston. Yeah. John Huston stars in this movie. That's what I was getting confused about.
There you go. Yeah, no,
I'm really losing my touch with the IMDb research. But John Huston is the Hollywood Titan. So he was a triple threat: director, screenwriter, and character actor.
I hear he did a great performance in Chinatown.
He did. So with this movie, with Victory, John Huston did direct this movie, and but he hated the movie. Admittedly, and he did it for the paycheck.
Cool.
Great start.
From what I understand, no one really wanted to do this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say there's going to be a very running theme throughout this episode. So the writers, I'm going to butcher these fucking names, right? So you got Yabo Yabolotsky.
Cool.
You got Dodordai Milovicic.
Brilliant.
And then Jeff Maguire.
Jeff.
Yeah, so one of those names is not like the other. So screenwriter Yabo hated the revisions that were made to this script, and you could probably guess who made those revisions.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so horrified when he saw the finished movie that he actually ended up... he was considering taking his own life.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. That got pretty dark pretty quick. Hated the movie so much that he wanted to kill himself. Fucking hell.
I mean, okay. Nothing really to say there.
Yeah, like, oh, what a downer, start of the new year. So the movie is actually inspired by actual series of games in Kiev during the German occupation of the city, as some of the members of, like, I think, like, top flight whatever league that was back in Ukraine. A lot of those people got displaced from playing professional football, then got, you know, sort of the bricky warehouse working jobs. But as they were doing it, they formed a football team. They were approached to play the German military. And after they beat the German military, the German Air Force, the league was then disbanded and several of those team members were arrested by the Gestapo and executed.
So we're keeping the entertainment light, just to be clear.
Yeah, so it's a bit like a kind of movie. But obviously, you know, this is Hollywood, so there's definitely a bit more of a feel-good revamping of the story.
Right. Yeah, so let's talk about this, because we're going to get into the film. We are. That's what we do, if you haven't listened before. The film is basically the ending. Like, you don't... no one talks about, oh, do you remember the scene where there was that sweet training montage of Escape to Victory? No, it's all about the final battle on the football field.
Yeah.
And the rest of the film, I couldn't tell you anything that happens in it.
So before we just get onto the cast, movie scoring was composed by Bill Conti. Where do you know the name Bill Conti from?
Rocky.
That's right. So he wrote all the music to the original Sylvester Stallone's Rocky, the 1976 movie. Nice. So speaking of Sylvester Stallone,
Sylvester Stallone, famous for being in Get Carter.
I did have a little bit of some trivia quizzes going for a sprinkle throughout this. Yes, that's correct. He has a character connection to Michael Caine, if you didn't think there ever would be. They both played Get Carter. You had the original Michael Caine version and the, I think it's 2000.
Oh, it feels like a 2000 movie.
And it had like Mickey Rourke and fucking Dr. Cox in it.
Oh, John C. McGinley?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Sylvester Stallone started soccer training, we're going to use the word soccer because it's fucking American, on weekends off during the filming of Nighthawks. You remember Nighthawks?
I don't remember Nighthawks.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. Stallone received training from England's World Cup winning goalkeeper, Gordon Banks.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So initially, though, Stallone paid little attention to Banks' advice as he didn't think the training was necessary. And this led him to him injuring himself because he didn't know how to dive for a ball.
He fucked up his wrist or his fingers?
Yeah, he dislocated his shoulder and he broke his ribs.
Oh, right, okay. I thought he messed up his hand.
He did. I think it was a shot from Pele or something like that. He ended up breaking his fingers or something.
Which takes us nicely on to the reason we're doing this episode. We'll come back to Michael Caine.
So this is the whole reason we decided to do this episode in the first place, because unfortunately Mr. Pele is no longer with us.
He is not. And, you know, it's a tragedy to the world of football.
It is. It's one of those things where you think about, you know, it's a sad time, but, you know, it's one of those things where a player will be immortalised, you know, forever. You know, he's one of the greatest players that's ever played.
Yeah, and it was always the argument of who was better, Pelé or Maradona. Gut reaction, who do you think was better, Pelé or Maradona?
Gut reaction, I would say Pelé, just same. Because I'm not a massive Argentinian fan.
I would agree, but if you look at the stats and everything like that, it's like, okay, probably Maradona. I just preferred Pelé.
So Michael Caine, he's in this.
Yes,
he plays Captain John Colby. What's your favourite, like, Michael Caine movie?
I mean, come on, we've covered this,
have we?
Yeah.
Well, for the listener who may have not listened to it.
Oh, okay, episode. Yeah. Well, welcome to the show. Favourite Michael Caine movie is Muppet Christmas Carol. Best Michael Caine performance is Miss Congeniality.
Oh, of course. I would say, like, you know, we've been discussing over lengths of time about maybe, you know, scripting a movie and things like that.
Yes.
And one of the movies that I kind of, I wouldn't say like inspired from, but I'll probably do a lot of heavy lifting from.
Harry Brown?
Harry Brown.
Nice.
I think it's such an underrated movie, which I think has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Because you kind of say, like, what's a Michael Caine movie? And you go, well, you know, Get Carter, The Italian Job.
Zulu.
And then if you think of his later movies, and you kind of go, well, what was he in? He was in Inception, Dark Knight, anything basically with Christopher Nolan.
Is he going to be in Oppenheimer?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Unless we had some English people over there.
Yeah, fair enough. But you say that, but he did famously play that German once. Oh, God, I don't remember what the name of the film is, but essentially he plays a German who can speak like an East Londoner, and his mission is to assassinate Churchill, and he succeeds at the very end of the film. You find out, oh, it was a secret double.
Can you name any of the players that are in this? Pele. I think you've already mentioned that Bobby Moore's in this.
Oh, right, Bobby Moore, Pele.
Apart from Pele as well.
Pele.
Yeah, we are so far removed from this generation of football. Yeah. So there'll be names that I imagine that maybe if you spoke to your dad or maybe even your granddad, and you'd be like, hey, do you know, remember these footballers?
Oh, this is very much like your 40 to 50 year old dad's favourite war movie. All this to say, kind of no one's in this movie.
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting because you just kind of go, well, who's in this? Mm. Like, really, it's like Pele, Stallone, Kane.
This movie might as well just be a 10-second gif. And we know what that gif is.
And what is that gif?
That gif is Pele doing a bicycle kick.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, so interestingly about this movie, Pele did a lot of the choreographing for the cinematic of the game. You can imagine that everyone kind of had their little moment, and a lot of the players that were playing in the game were all like professional footballers. So they all did their kind of what they were known for, you know, kind of like being able to take the ball off the chest and like, you know, volley it, and, you know, being able to get a good header in.
Yeah,
so I just thought it's quite interesting now, because you would think that if this was made in modern times, all those players would probably be somebody of note. You probably would have... I'm trying to think of a similar movie. What was that? Fuck it. You ever watched Goal, the Newcastle movie?
Yeah.
And you got like fucking Alan Shearer rocking around like the weight room.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go, Alan Shearer, one of the greatest fucking Geordie that's ever lived.
But this is Escape to Victory, which I believe is 2 hours long.
Oh, fuck me, yeah. Are you ready for that?
Mm-hmm. It's 4:30 now. Dinner's at 7. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's jump straight into this then. So 3, 2...
It is movie talk time.
Yep, so that was 2 hours that we're never getting back. What was your first thoughts?
It's an hour and a half of crap. And then a really, really... And Pele, you said Pele choreographed the football. A really engaging 30 minutes.
Yeah, I would say that. It's quite an exciting... There's, like, it's almost in a way you could split this movie up. You could literally just have a... You know, all the escaping stuff is his own movie in a way. And then...
Yeah,
and
what should we call that? The good escape, the somewhat... okay escape. I don't know. I feel like
I do have to give out a little bit about all the plans in this movie.
Please do, because so, I mean, it starts with some idiot.
Well, okay, so it's the cold open, and there's a gentleman in a very tactical turtleneck trying to crawl through the fence.
Gets stuck,
and he gets shot, and you're just like, bam, all right, straight into it. Okay, so we've got some weight to this.
But why does he get shot?
Because he's trying to escape.
But he, because the dogs.
Was it the dogs?
Yeah, the dogs bark, and the Germans are like, holy shit, that guy's trying to escape. Blam. This guy needed, like, a ring of sausages or something from the rations box.
Because those dogs weren't... Guard dog needs a fucking sausage to fucking whiff out an escaping prisoner.
All I'm saying is that those dogs weren't, like, new that night. He must have known that the dogs would have been onto him.
This is true. This is kind of maybe the first like hole in most people's plans. But maybe it's just to say that there's a... What's the word? Not weight, but there's the sort of gravitas of, you know, staying around and, you know... Actually, saying that, the camp's not that bad. It doesn't look it.
It's not that bad. And this is the thing, like... Don't get me wrong, I wasn't... Just to be clear, I wasn't in the war. But... Every time I watch things like The Great Escape, I'm like, this feels like just summer camp.
Yeah, these POWs, I'm fucking in it.
100% confident that it's the same as me watching, like, say, I don't know, Shawshank and being like, prison, not so bad.
Yeah, I could do that on my head. Yeah, fucking sister's bumming me every fucking day. Yeah, I can handle that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to watch Oz and have it ruined for me. But no, it feels
I'd like to say that Craig put up the good fight.
It's not great, but it's not that bad. And that's where, like, again, someone got killed. Okay, they were trying to escape. That's kind of the deal when you're trying to escape a prison POW camp. And then the Red Cross comes, like, oh, it was an accident. It's like, no, he was just trying to escape. Like, that's what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't get that whole kind of, like, because they kind of waver on the Geneva Convention, don't they? When so all the German officers rock up at the POW camp and they're like, hey, look, we're here to investigate the accident involving one of your prisoners that they're speaking to. All the sort of colonels, the representatives of the camp, and you're like, why is anyone playing along with this? Like, is there some sort of, like, because you're like, it's a fucking POW camp. If someone fucking tries to escape, I'm pretty sure, you know, like, I don't know, like, are they now a prisoner of war still?
They're a double prisoner of war. They're a prisoner of prisoner of war.
They're now an ex-prisoner of war.
They're a popow.
But I kind of find it funny that they're sort of clinging on to the Geneva Convention, considering that pretty much the Germans broke the Geneva Convention by going into war.
Yeah, it's all... I'm not a politician, despite what you think. But it's all very... it's all very confusing, and it's things that I just kind of accept as like, oh, okay, I guess. And there's a great war movie called Stalag 17. Now that is a POW camp where I'm like, get the hell out of there. That one's awful. But at one point in there, someone's getting tortured, and someone else comes in. And is like, this man needs to sleep. And that I vibe with, that understanding of someone needs to come in and make sure that there aren't war crimes being perpetrated. Cool, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just like slightly ironic that they even hold this up. Considering that how later on in the movie you get the labour camp guys coming through, or they're sort of like the Eastern European dudes.
Yeah, at the point where the movie just tries to be more serious than it actually is. And that's again what I suppose I mean, where it's like, it could be worse, you know?
It could be a lot worse. But I kind of get the idea behind it, like that sort of summer camp feel. It's just like, yeah, I don't know, like this, everyone's rolling around having a fag, playing football,
and just again, like, this is like
fucking Clapham Common on a fucking Saturday afternoon.
And you think, so the Great Escape, they've got a choir group going on, they're growing vegetables, they're celebrating the 4th of July with the homemade moonshine that they create.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, come on.
If there was ever a moment that we're probably going to get cancelled, it'd probably be this.
I can't stress enough just how much I'm like, how far can I dig here?
So, Max von Sydow, he is the big bad German, really. He's Major Karl von Steiner. What a name.
That is a very German name.
And he notices Michael Caine, Jack Colby, playing football with a sort of ragtag group of prisoners. And he kind of gets the ball to him. Oh, you kind of see Stallone running around as well, doing a bit of a fucking, he's being a bit of a doofus, and the ball rolls over to Max von Sydow, and he does a little bit of keepy uppy.
Yeah,
and that's how you know he's into football. And you're like, okay,
that's it. We're straight into Max von Sydow, like, side eyeing these footballers, eye fucking them. And then he's like, oh, you used to play for West Ham in England.
Yeah, fucking cunt, spit on that, like, fucking West Ham.
Just to be clear, my career is not over, just postponed. But at the same time, you're 47, so maybe your career's over.
I was waiting for the Michael Caine impression to come out.
I'm retiring Stallone for now.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as we were watching this movie, I was like, fucking hell, it's going to be an hour crazy.
Yeah, there's two barrels in this gun.
Back and forth in between Stallone and Michael Caine.
No,
can't wait for your Pele impression, though. That's...
but yeah, no, he's 47.
Got a good Pele, isn't he?
Oh, for legal reasons, no. he's 47. He's 47. He's 47. And there are a couple of things about this film where I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, you're obviously a comedy movie. Number one is Sylvester Stallone's muscles. Again, going back to this whole POW, and now I can't edit it out, going back to this whole, POW can't be that bad, the guy's jacked.
Yeah, he's... he did lose a lot of weight for this movie because he didn't obviously want to come in overly muscle bound. And this is, what, 1981?
But he does. Like, the guy looks amazing.
Yeah, so he's... Well, so Rocky's 76.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. So get this. In between takes and scenes, he's writing Rocky 3 in this movie.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And with that, so you kind of... So he's done Rocky 2. He's done Rambo...
Has he done Rambo yet? I don't think he would have, purely because Rambo was Nam, and Nam wasn't over then. I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe. But he's Rocky, so he's pumped to the gills. And
like, show me the scene. Yeah, First Blood was 1982. Show me the scene where he's doing just push-ups or something that's like, oh, okay, that's why you're so hench right now. But the other thing where I'm like, this POW camp can't be that bad, is Michael Caine's stomach.
Well, this is probably why I can't run 70 yards.
I've got nothing wrong. Look, don't get me wrong. I, of all people, have nothing wrong with anyone with a large stomach. Good for you. You know, fly that flag high. But if I'm going to be playing a character in a film who's been in a POW camp,
yeah,
I'm probably going to go on the cucumber diet.
Show me the hot stuff. That's what you want, Craig. Show me the bod. Show me your rippling, sweating abs.
James Coburn and James Garner and Steve McQueen aren't rocking a paunch in The Great Escape, okay?
Yes.
So, Hatch is all about escaping.
He is. So why does he want to escape?
Because the script told him to.
Yeah, this is the thing. I was like, right, so everyone's trying to escape. Very muff. Okay, I get that. Right, but where are they? They're in Germany, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they've got to fucking get out. It's kind of like when we all got fucking held up in Switzerland.
Nope. So I wasn't one of those.
Well, I wasn't either. I was on that fucking plane sweet out.
I flew out the following day. Flight. I had a lovely day in Switzerland with Kevin Roy.
Oh, yeah, because you stayed behind and just chilled.
Yeah. All those other jamokes that got separated. Ian, where is it? Bern? Bern? Was that where it was?
Oh, no, we were in Basel.
All right, okay. Which is like four countries in one city or something.
Yeah, so you had like Switzerland, Germany, France, and I don't know where
else. Probably Russia.
But yeah, so you're kind of thinking from that, it's just like, well, where the fuck do you go? It's like, right, you get out of the prison camp to where? So you got to cross through. Well, so you got to get through Germany, bit of Poland, maybe, into France.
Thus proving stay in the POW camp.
Well, you're just kind of like weighing up your options, aren't you? Just going like, well, where the fuck am I going? Okay, I'm out. Great. Now what? And that's where I think I would be with it all. I'd be like, well, so I just got to lay low, try that I can somehow get back to England. Like, how the fuck am I going to do that?
But this is again what I mean. Like, if you think about, say, the bridge on the River Kwai or anything like the Railway Man or something, where it's like the, I think, was it Japanese prison camp in the Railway Man? But the original The River Kwai, where they're getting put in the hot box and tortured. Things like that, where it's like, these are some god-awful conditions. Versus here, where it's like, yeah, right, guys, play football, but the ball is going to be a little bit soft. So,
So I wanted to kind of get into, like, fair enough, like, the plan to get out is maybe a bit rubbish, but I just wanted to kind of jump on a little bit about Stallone's character in general, with his, like, sort of plan sequencing, his kind of motivations, and then just the fact that he comes across as a bit of a fucking dumbass a lot when you sort of pick away at it, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah.
Like, so, number one, they're playing football and he's shit. Right.
Oh, okay. I've written down a joke that I'm confident you're going to say. Let's talk some more about his footballing skills.
Well, I like the fact that he rugby tackles somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fucking absolute spears him. And he's just like, okay, right, so...
He gives him the full Boris Johnson.
Yeah, he does a Bojo. And the thing is he apparently has been playing soccer for a year.
Yeah,
or something like that, and he's just like,
"Yeah, I play it your way, you play it my, I play it my way, you play it your way," or something.
Yeah, and he's just like, "All right, you're fair enough." You know, you kind of think of people that we've played rugby with, like Adam Minnett, who just played by his own rules and would just literally fucking lamppost people, and would you know, sort of have a slight disregard for the sportsmanship of the game.
Yeah, he'd go a real Joe Marler on people, he would.
Yeah, and you kind of think he's okay, he's just a bad footballer, and he keeps going around when they're trying to pick the team, when Michael Caine's been given the sort of green light to get this fucking football team together. He's like, hey, yeah, you pick me. And it sort of like reminds me of like Derek trying to get fucking picked at tag. It's just like always last.
Well, it reminds me of Danny Dyer in Mean Machine.
Does it?
Yeah, where he's like, oh, Vinnie Jones, can I be on the team? You can be in the squad. Get in! Weef! Shirt over the head. And then he has the winning moment.
Rev up the Bugatti.
Yeah, and then he has the winning moment at the end where he scores the tap in like it's fucking the best goal ever made.
Right. So apparently in Sylvester Stallone wanted a revision of the ending of this film where Stallone scores the game winner. And everyone was like, why is the fucking goalkeeper going to score the game winner?
You could do that.
I mean, saying that, like, you know, if you're thinking it's the last minute, dying minute of the match and you had, like, a corner, you'd fucking get your goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of times goalkeepers score from that.
Allison did it. Mm. That's it. No, there have been other goalkeepers. But you could do it, like, say, Stallone's really good at taking penalties as well as saving them. Or you could have it... Because, look, this film ends in a draw.
It does.
But you could have it then that instead of him scoring the winning goal, it ends 4-3 because he saved the penalty. He doesn't have to stop it from becoming 5-4, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, maybe that would have helped the film be better. Because from what I understand, people went, eh. When they came out, it was very much like, eh, you know, whatever, movie.
Yeah. So there's a few other things. So Stallone's trying to escape from the prison camp and he's counting the steps of the guard outside the shower house that he wants to escape through. And he's counting out loud. He's like, 8, 9, right. And he's just like, if I was a guard, I'd be like, sorry, mate, why are you counting? Why are you counting my steps?
I'm not counting every time you step. I'm going to count every time.
Yeah, fucking... 12,
all right. 13. You're doing it again. 14.
I was just like, okay. But the whole him counting the fucking steps outside is because he noticed that these guards are always positioned outside. And that's how he's going to escape. And he's just like, so your plan is resting on the sole fact that it's always going to be these prison guards that are outside. And you just kind of think of the logistics of that. And you're thinking, well, again, I don't know how to run a prison camp. Just saying. But I can imagine there would be some rotation.
You'd swap it every day. You'd be like, right, you're 8'2", you're 5'6". You guys are interchanging.
It's just kind of, it's just like, oh, you guys guard the showers. You'd just be like, oh, what a fucking shit job.
That isn't the worst plan that happens and or is heard about, I guess.
No, you're right. But then it's just like, He gets rejected quite harshly by Michael Caine because he keeps, you know, every time Stallone puts his hand out, Michael Caine's like, fuck off.
And rightly so.
But when Michael Caine fucks off to go speak to the German officer who gets in the car, Stallone's like chasing him, being like, I don't even want to be on your fucking team. Fuck you, Michael Caine. I'm going to start my own fucking football team.
You're not my best friend anymore, Michael Caine.
Yeah, he's just a bit like, dude. Like, and I don't know if that's meant to be like an act or something like that, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. Okay. I think it's him being very sore about the fact that he's not allowed to play football with the other boys.
And he's sore because the two guards that were fucking monitoring the showers have now been pitched to the Michael Caine's team, so they're going to guard them.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, that could have just happened at any time. He's like, oh, you two lads, right, can you go fucking monitor this fucking hut over here now instead? Yeah. And he would have just... But it's also like, all right, how much your plan is resting on a couple of guards continuing a routine for so long. It's like, oh yeah, they do this all the time. They come in, they bum a smoke, and then they fuck off outside. And it's just like, but what if it's that one time that they don't fucking do it? And you're just like, you're really resting on this idea that I couldn't get over it, obviously.
No. But there's like, so many things where it's like, shut up, Affleck. And so I just want to say the worst plan of the whole movie, again, it gets rejected, is to pole vault over the fence.
Oh, but they laugh at that joke, at that plan, don't they?
They do, but still, the fact they're that it's like, a serious suggestion. Rather,
I think it maybe meant to show there's a level of desperation to get out.
Yeah, and again, talk about the Great Escape. Ives, the Scottish fella, he just starts climbing the wall because cabin fever sets in after they find either Tom, Dick or Harry, one of the tunnels, and he starts climbing and gets killed. And it's a really harrowing moment where you get to see, like, the cabin fever set in. And that this now I understand why they need to escape in the Great Escape.
You do get that kind of feeling. It's like, so they've got football.
Yep.
Someone's got a fucking pole vault. And it's like, oh, it's a fucking slip and slide, fucking bouncy castle.
That's
at this
what
fucking
I'm saying.
Place.
This POW camp is not so bad. and Pele's there just kicking the ball around, being like, yeah, I learnt with fruit. And players that you see, or the people that you see that get it worst, are then the labour camp people who are
I think they're like Czech,
very gingerly referred to as Eastern Europeans. We know what it means.
Can they not say Jews?
We know what it means. And Michael Caine,
who's not letting us say that they're Jews? That's the real question, Craig. That's the conspiracy.
John,
like, why can't I say the J word?
It's a hard J. You gotta come in with
it's
a soft
J.
And Michael Caine's like, they're good footballers. I needed to get them out of the labour camps. And it's like, how did you know they were alive? Why are you pen-palling with these seven
soccer players? No, he doesn't, because he's like, oh, you can find out for me if they are alive.
But Stallone's then told, like, hey, you need to escape. You're going to Paris now.
Because
that's where the game's going to be, and we're going to organise an escape. A great escape.
Yeah, but it's like, all right, Stallone's getting out of Dodge, and he's going to go all the way to Paris so that he can inform the French resistance that the game's going ahead and that they're going to escape. And he says he spent like a whole year trying to escape, or planning to escape.
Yeah. Where was he originally planning on going to? Stuttgart?
No, Switzerland, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Switzerland.
And so, does he speak German?
No, he speaks a little bit of French.
Right, so he spent
but
a
poorly.
Whole year planning on getting to Switzerland and hasn't picked up. And it really bugs me, because when he's like, oh, here are my papers, do you speak French? No, well, I'm just on my way to a funeral. And then he runs after the woman, he's like, mon chérie. And I'm like, no, actually.
Oh, mate, that got me
excuse
as well.
Excuse me, it's ma chérie, and you've been learning for a year, sir.
Because it's not even that, oh, I know a little bit. It's so flippant about it. It's like, hey, do you know how to say this? And he's like, fucking, yeah, je m'appelle Stallone, je habite.
Yeah,
it's just
comes
like... Here. Hey, and he's just like, yeah, what? I swear he goes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, well, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, he
something
really
like that.
Is
yeah,
like
fucking
the world's worst escape artist.
I'll wing it. I'll be all right on the night. We'll do it live. And I'm just like, fucking, what is this guy? And because I remember when we first started talking about this movie, and it's like, oh, we should do it. You know, like Pele's just like kick the bucket. Fuck it. It's Michael Caine's Stallone. Let's do this. And we were saying, is Sylvester Stallone in this movie? Isn't he like meant to be some sort of super spy or something like that? And then after rewatching it now, I was like, no, he was a complete fucking moron the whole time.
This is the problem when you write characters that are just too cool for school. Is that in the cold
bit,
light
yeah.
of day, they're just jackasses.
Well, it's not even he's a jackass. It's like, he gets out of Dodge, he does make his escape, he gets through the little hatch in the shower room and he fucks off.
Oh crap, is that why he's called Hatch?
Oh, maybe.
Ooh,
maybe he is.
Bit of depth.
And so he gets onto the train, gets past the guards, who are Hungarian,
right.
They don't speak German, and he, you know, quite slyly gets on, and he gets all the way to Paris, gets on the subway and finds the French resistance. He does the kind of reminiscence of like Glorious Bastards, you know, where they're down in the bar and it's late night and, you know, he meets up with the resistance. And when they're going through the plan, I've never seen anyone more bored as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's like, you know, sort of hand on his cheek, just like looking up at the heavens. And the guy's like, right, so this is what we're going to do. You know, if we need to get out, there's some sewer tunnel. He's like, yeah, well, he's literally like, oh, fucking, why am I even here? Sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I never want this film to get compared to Inglourious Basterds again. But I see what you mean. So yeah, he meets these two French guys who are like, oh, don't worry, we'll figure out the plan, blah 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 blah. And now Stranger, who's been in a POW camp for at least a year, possibly more, just stay in this house with my daughter.
Yeah, and it's a bit like, because I do like a bit of the back and forth thing, and it's just like, so yeah, are you not happy that I'm here? And he's like, she's like, oh, whatever. And it's like, you married? And he's like, oh, no, husband died first week of the war. And he's like, yes.
Yeah, and then at the end she's like, oh, I'll go and wake up Sebastian or whatever. And he's like, oh, you don't need to wake Sebastian, he's my son. He's like, oh yeah, they get him the hell out of the bedroom. Yeah, he laid some good groundwork with Rene. Yeah,
lays some pipe.
Yes.
But then he's told to fuck off back to the POW camp, which if I was him as well, I would be a little bit like, hang on a second, I was only here to fucking tell you. Now I've got to go all the way back to fucking Germany or wherever the fuck this thing is. And quite rightly, you know, he does question it. He goes, so hang on a second, right, so you want me to go back to, you want me to get captured and taken back to the fucking POW camp? How the fuck do you even know that I'm going to be sent back to the same prison camp? What? How do you know he's not going to just get shot as being a fucking escapee? It's just like, yeah, fucking, why? You escaped once, why are we going to deal with that problem
again? And that's it, again, it's so much of, like, that sort of stuff gets discussed in other movies. And that whole thing of, like, I spent forever getting out of there, now I'm being sent back, I think is exactly one of the character arcs in Bridge on the River Kwai. I think. It could be a different one, but I think it's Bridge on the River Kwai. But there's so many things where it's like, okay, you need to get captured just so we can kind of throw off the German scent, which is a thing from The Great Escape. And make plans with French resistance and get sent back, but get sent back to the same one, which again, you say, oh, what if they get shot? Just like at the end of The Great Escape. Like, there's so many other things of other films that are doing this sort of thing better. And it really is just like, get rid of this escape crap. And just focus on the camp and the build-up to the victory. And, like, Rene is actually a really well-defined character, in my opinion. She's got this whole thing of, like, don't tell me your name because I don't want to forget about it. It will haunt me when you die, this, that, and the other. She is in this film for, like, 7 seconds and is way more defined than 99% of all of the other people that are in the POW camp.
Great chance. Which... no, 100%. And because this is one of the big things for me about this whole movie is that, apart from Michael Caine and Pelé, and obviously you get to know much about Pelé.
No, that's it. You get to know about Stallone, Caine, and Rene, and everyone else is just football players.
Yeah. Oh, Pelé. What do we know? Oh, I'm from Trinidad. I used to do this with Oranges. Yeah. cool. You're in the squad.
Yeah, that's it. You can do keepy uppies. Can you dribble? Doesn't matter.
You can fucking juggle. Great. Yeah. Like, and you kind of get the sense that, why wasn't Pelé fucking playing in the first place? Because, you know, when they're doing all the tryouts...
I'll be honest, I have an answer for you.
Is it racism?
I think it is.
There's not many people of colour in that prison camp, and you kind of got to somehow wrangle in why he's there. And you're kind of like, so he's from Trinidad. Okay, cool.
That's it, character
is he from Trinidad?
Done. Pardon?
No, he's
Brazilian.
Exactly.
My question was
Brazil in the fucking... Well,
that's what I was going to ask. Maybe Brazil won in the war, maybe Trinidad won. I just don't know. But yeah, like, that's such a big question. Why was he just kind of chilling on the sidelines watching? Is it because he was looking at all these jamokes, including Michael Caine, being like, I'm not going to demean myself?
Yeah, I'm not putting my name to this.
Yeah, and maybe that would be an interesting tangent that is discussed in The Longest Yard, where people like Terry Crews and Nelly are like, no, we're not going to play for you against the guards, we're going to play basketball. Maybe there's that thing with Pelé where he's just, or and the others, Bobby Moore, etc., where they're just like, no, we're better than this, we're not playing. But because we need to see Stallone, you know, climbing out of a shower room, we don't get that.
Yeah, this is true. So there is one person that gets done dirty in this movie.
Is it the poor little goalkeeper?
It is the Irish guy, McCallaghan.
He used to play for Ipswich.
He did used to play, yes. Quite a lot of these players used to play for Ipswich, actually.
I'm pretty sure I've played for Ipswich. Like.
I was going to say, shows kind of how much Ipswich has fallen from grace these days. So we're a bit surprised by that.
Ipswich ever in the Prem?
There are
teams now that I see in League Two where I'm like, I remember you playing against the top dogs in the Premiership.
Oh, 100%. Like, it's so crazy because I used to love the Merlin sticker cards and I used to have all the annuals and shit like that. And I just always remember, like, you know, like completing certain teams, and you're kind of thinking to myself, like, you know, like all the Sheffield teams, like Sheffield Wednesday and United, Bolton Wanderers.
Bolton's won, Charlton's won, where I'm like, you were up there. What happened?
Yeah. Or like even like QPR and things like that, and just kind of like they had a slight resurgence, went back down. Yeah, like Ipswich, Coventry,
Blackpool.
This
is now just us naming football teams.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, and you kind of think you can imagine that like Southampton's not going to be around this season, not as well. It's interesting, isn't it?
But dynasties. Hey, maybe they get relegated and then get promoted and then a few years later get bought by a Saudi Arabian club and sit third in the Premier.
Whoa, well, it's the dream, isn't it?
It's the dream by your success.
It's the fucking dream. Anyway, the fucking goalkeeper gets his fucking arm snapped.
Yeah.
Oh, what a way to dob someone in. So Michael Caine's like, fuck, we need... Stallone's back and he's been put in essentially an outhouse and like hot box.
Yeah,
and we need to get him out because apparently he's got a message. And I do like how Stallone managed to get that message across, and he's like, oh, he knows his mythology.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Hermes. I was like, it looks more like a fucking bunny. He's got his fucking hands on his forehead, like waving them around. And he's just like, that's not Hermes.
Yeah, Hermes, the messenger god and the messenger delivery service.
Yeah, Hermes, I would put more the palms of my hands towards the back, or if not my ears, kind of flap them around there. Not the fucking front of my forehead, like, ooh.
And what are the odds that these other guys know this?
Oh, that's the other thing. It's just like, how can I get an inconspicuous message to those guys over there that just happened to be watching me? Oh, yeah, fucking going to wave my hands around. Look at me.
Yeah, if it was you and me, like, from a distance, I'd just do the thing where you're just like, he's talking too much, where you clap your, like, make them, like, turn your hand into a mouth where it's like, meh, 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 meh. And I'd just do that and be like, obviously we need to talk. You know.
Or do the Mr. Burns baseball hand signals.
Yeah. Get rid of those sideburns.
So they have to get him out. So they suggest to old Max von Sydow that the goalkeeper needs replacing because he broke his arm that morning. And then very cleverly, like, I thought, it's like Max is like, I don't believe this. Well, okay, if the doctor checks him out and tells me he's got a broken arm, then he can't. And you're just like, ah. And I just love it when, like, because I've worked, you know, in places where it's very easy to kind of get away with stuff when you lie about things. And you go, oh, I didn't. And you just like, when someone says, like, something like, all right, okay, I believe you, but just prove it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you're sick, are you? Just get me a doctor's note. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ah, fuck. Now I've got to go and get the fucking doctor. You know, it's like, now I've actually got to go and get this thing. So then, yeah, Callahan, gets his fucking snapped, and just I can just imagine the worst way possible. It's just like, put your arm over a gap and then I'm just gonna stomp on your fucking forearm.
Yeah, the noise he makes. I remember this harrowed me as a kid watching it just now. It's not as bad as I remember, but I remember it because he lets out a little like noise.
Yeah, there's two times in my life where I've heard a scream and it's made me go, oh. One was Ben Smalley snapping his fucking leg, and then the other one was you fucking ripping your fucking kneecap off.
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
So Stallone's back in the squad, back in the team. He's starting goalkeeper because we've seen the fun montage scene where he saves the shots from Pelé, and we've also seen the fun scene where Pelé's like, hey, give me the ball here, I'll do this, and then score. Ha, 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 ha. At which point you're just you know what, mate? Actually, we're talking tactics here.
I'd be like, fuck off, mate. Like, if I give you the... Because every time he did get the fucking ball in that movie, he got absolutely smashed.
Yeah, so have you ever watched footage of Pelé in, I think it was the 1970 World Cup?
I can't say, like, I have, but not where I can go, oh, yeah, I remember exactly.
Obliterated. They...
Oh, did
he? Yeah, and he basically said, I'm not going to play football again, if that's how... teams are going. And they just kicked the piss out of him. They weren't even going for the ball. They were just taking out his shins. And you know,
but that's like fucking football back in those days, isn't it?
No, it you're right, it is that, but it was way worse. It was properly malicious. We need to stop the best player. Kick, kick, kick. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Yeah. Much like at the end of this film when Sylvester Stallone dives on the ball and they just fucking Robert De Niro, Goodfellas, yeah, kick him to get the ball out.
Yeah, so the thing with this as well is that Stallone was the trainer in Air Brackets. Mate, he's so fucking annoying.
Thank you. Like, yes, he is.
He's because when everyone's running around and he's standing there and he's like, yeah, yeah, good, good, good. Well done.
Pick him up,
and
then put him down. Pick him up, put him down.
And then when everyone's getting their kit out, and he's just like, oh, guys, make sure that everything fits. And you're just like, mate, you are overstepping.
Make sure everything fits. Yeah. It's okay to have a small injury like anal bleeding or a hernia, but no blisters. So make sure everything fits. Oh, I'm just keeping up team morale. And quite rightly, Michael Caine's just like, shut up.
Yeah, because you know when someone like fully, overly commits to something and like puts in an atrocious amount of effort into something where you're just like, you're really trying too hard here, mate. Like, just fuck off.
Yep. Organised fun.
Yeah. So now Stallone's in the team and they're off to Clone. Yeah. Clone, not Cologne. Clone.
They're off to the finale of the movie.
They're off somewhere.
And the Germans have fixed it that the referee's paid off, much like in The Longest Yard. And Max,
is he though? Is he paid off? Because he calls it fair on something, but he's obviously he's biased. Oh. He's getting the Alex Ferguson rub.
Alex Ferguson rub sounds like terrible barbecue food.
Well, it's just like I suppose now, or what? Maybe a few seasons ago now, not so much. But people used to call things like Klopp time, like where it's like, oh, Liverpool get, like, you know, Liverpool are down a goal, or, you know, so let's give fucking 8 minutes of injury time or something like that so that they can fucking level or get the win. And you're just like, how is there so much fucking injury time? And then,
yeah, there's a bit of that. And there's a bit of, but like, yeah, Pelé getting the piss kicked out of him. And like, yeah, Pelé is one of the only players, Pelé's one of the only players in this that doesn't commit a foul.
Yeah, I don't think many of them. Oh, okay, fair enough. I get where you're going with that, because a lot of this is what I'm saying. I don't think the referee was that biased or slanted, because a lot of the fucking English or the let's call them the Lions, because it's English, Welsh,
USA, Irish, Argentina, Norway.
But then yeah, fair enough. Let's just say the Allies. Sure. Mate, they are fucking hacking as much as anyone else.
I agree. Which is why when it happens to Pelé, you're just there, because he's the one that doesn't do it. You're just there going, no, not my precious Pelé. but I mean, at one point, someone dives at Sylvester Stallone's feet, gets up, Sylvester Stallone just grabs him by the neck and throws him back down to the floor. And it's like, oh, cool, another penalty.
I think the guy gets up and gets in his face. And then Stallone's just like, fuck off.
But yeah, no, the referee doesn't call any of the stuff on Pelé. He gives that fake offside at the end.
Yeah. There's a bit of a, yeah, okay. There's an angle on this game.
Yeah.
Did you think that the, well, speaking of angles, the very British German announcer, he sounded like a fucking BBC fucking commentator.
Yeah, I didn't understand that guy.
He's like fucking decked out, full Nazi garb, you know, red armband on. He looks pretty high up, and he's like, "Oh, and now here comes Royal the Rovers," and it's just like slightly jarring. But when the Germans score, and he's like, "Oh, listen to that crowd,"
he leans turns over up the radio
and switches on the crowd applause, and it's like, "Oh, yes, that's awesome."
Yeah, that reminded me of Major League.
Yes, 100%. It's one of those things, like, when you're looking around the stadium and stuff like that, and hey, it's all decked out in all that sort of Nazi garbs, and everyone's in their fucking kits, and you know, and you look around, there's a huge amount of crowds and stuff. I was like, fucking hell, they've got a lot of people in. You know, you're thinking that this is days before CGI and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's what I really enjoy about this. And honestly, I have nothing negative to say about the final 30 minutes of this film. Getting the crowd in, having the pitch invasion at the end.
do wonder if there's if they did the old Star Wars, you know, when they did the crowd for the pod races, they were just like Q-tips.
No, you could, no, you'd get the real crowd in. It was John Hughes. He was a purist.
Fair.
Oh, John Huston. If not John Hughes. God, John Hughes making this movie would be a different movie.
It probably would have been. You are thinking of John Huston.
Yes, I was.
Well, not thinking of John Huston.
This football team consists of a jock, a nerd, a bully.
Judd Nelson is.
Judd Nelson is right back. Molly Ringwald is central mid. But yeah, no, it's a really cool ending. The football choreography is great, and all of the players get their classic moment of like, hey, demonstrate your skill. So the Argentine,
there's some good link-up play.
There's some really good link-up play, and what I'll say is that Michael Caine is the worst fucking footballer on this team, and not just Michael Caine, but Colby, who he plays, offers nothing.
I don't remember, probably because he can't, but I don't remember actually a bit of footage in the movie where Michael Caine is actually playing football. It's just him giving out.
Yeah,
it especially is. To Stallone. It's like, oh, don't get off your fucking line, you can't.
Hang on the back line and jump for the ball.
Yeah,
he's doing nothing. And so many players are just tackling each other as well, I noticed. Like, so many teammates are tackling each other because they're all going in for the slides. Like, no one's playing shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, no one's playing in their position. Everyone's playing out.
Yeah. but no, there's some really cool build-up play. Obviously, the Germans score 4 goals because Sylvester Stallone sucks.
Well, was it... Are they 3-0 down? No, they're 4-1 at the half-time.
4-1
right, at half-time, this is the bit, right? So it's half-time now. The French resistance has broken into the changing room. And it's quite a nice visual, I thought, you know, when the water all fucking floods out down the hole and the ladder pops up. I was like, that's cool. And then they start climbing down, and then some cunt in the back's like, oh, you know what, we're 4-1 down, but I think we can win this.
Yeah.
And it's like, and Michael Caine's like, who said that? And it's like, I did. And it's like, yeah, oh, all right, we'll go back up there. We'll fucking get these bastards. And you're just like, what are you doing? You're getting fucking murdered out there. you're 4-1 down. You scraped a fucking goal just before half time. It's just like, you're probably not coming back from this.
Not only that, but you're down to 10 men because Michael Caine refuses to bring on a substitute.
Yeah, like Pele's got his fucking ribs broken. There's some cunt laid out.
Oh, the number four, yeah. The number four that at one point threw a Hitler salute. Like, I'll put my hand on the mustache.
He does a little tash in. It's like, how tall is he? Where does he live?
Yeah.
But it's like Michael Caine, when he bursts into the change room, he goes up to the geezers and he's like half dead. And he's just like, we scored a goal. We scored a goal. And he says it about like 4 or 5 times. It's like, he's like, his mind's being blown that we scored a goal.
But you've got to remember, he does play for West Ham.
He does play, exactly. And so when they're downstairs in the fucking sewers, and he's like, yeah, we can fucking win. It's like, mate, you were just absolutely starstruck that you even fucking got one in.
That's it. And the reason they win is because Michael Caine's like, right, let's let them have it. And I'm like, oh, cool. Now we're going to see some of the Allies like throwing in cheap shots.
Oh, mate, we've spoken
shins or anything like that. But as it stands, they just passed to each other better.
We've spoken about this before, about when, you know, how much we hate shit coaching. And it's the epitome of it. It's like, lads, all you got to do is just work harder. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yes.
Oh,
why didn't I think of that? It's like, oh, just put more effort in. Fucking just go that bit harder. Like, what the fuck is that? It's just like, how is that constructive? What can I take away from that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, just
do the thing, but do it better. And then we might win. But they do the thing, and they do it better, and they score goal after goal after goal. And then Pele's like, oh, now that we're not getting embarrassed, I feel an awful lot better. Well, so let like me come on and do my thing.
So it looks like he's broken a rib, right? Because he keeps holding his hand up there. He's like, he's playing around like one arm, if that makes a difference somehow. But then one of the Germans comes in and keeps fucking digging him in the ribs.
One of the Germans watched Rocky and was like, all right, Pele's now my piece of hanging meat.
Yeah, 100%. But Pele, the thing is, it's like Pele's been subbed off for injury.
No, he hasn't, though. He's been taken off, but they kept playing with 10 men.
oh, mate, the dumbasses.
Michael Caine's like, no, that's all right. We're playing with 10. We're 4-0 down. Like, what are you doing? Are you stupid?
But the thing is that they're playing better without Pelé.
Yeah. Pelé the villain of this? No, I can't even. I love Pelé.
Yeah, he's fucking sandbagging it.
Proper thing of like, all right, we're 4-3. From Pelé's point of view, we're 4-3. All right, maybe we've got a chance now. I'll come back on. Like, dude, you're either injured or you're not.
The fucking French resistance, wouldn't you be pissed? You'd be like, right, okay, so we've just put about 4 or 5 of our guys at risk because they had to, like, climb down in this fucking sewer in broad daylight in the middle of Paris. And then we've dug our way through. Like, fucking, how hard was that?
Yeah, but they did get goal of the season. You can't take that away from them.
Oh, mate. And then they're like, yeah, mate, you got to come now. And then this whole thing's been... The strings that would have had to be pulled to get all this fucking shit sorted.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, do you know what? Thanks a lot, lads, but we're going to go back up just because there might be a chance of us winning the fucking game. And I always thought to myself, if they had won or whatever, if they weren't broadcasting it, they could just make it up, couldn't they? They'd just be like,
the score is
5-0 to the Germans.
This brings us to kind of the biggest crux of the whole thing.
Yeah.
They could have just lied anyway.
I could have.
Fucking, who was the propaganda minister of the Third Reich? Was it Goebbels?
Maybe.
I think Goebbels was in charge of propaganda, and all it would have taken was for him to be like, right, we'll print the story, we beat them 5-0. Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Allies. Where, but which one specifically? The Allies. Oh, okay, yeah, cool, 5-0. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
So, they get back out on the pitch. Pelé does his magic, does his fucking bicycle kick, scores the equaliser.
Max von Sydow creams his pants over it.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Oh, yeah. He gets up and has a little bit of a clap.
He watches it in 17 different angles with the world music. Now, I don't know how he did that, but he did it.
He did do it.
And it was like, all right, we've got the footage. How do we incorporate it 17 different times? Because when it first goes in, I was like, oh, I remember this being a bit more magical. And then it's like Max von Sydow zooms in with his like laser eyes. And it's like, angle one, low angle, high angle, slow-mo, fast-mo. Oh, it's like, okay.
It's the Liam Neeson of football.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
The, really famous. The editing, I think it's of Taken 2. Yeah. it's about like 15 quick cuts of him climbing over a fence.
If you edit it fast, it will look fast. Nope.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a cool goal. It's the moment of the movie. And then, wouldn't you know it, they give away a penalty.
Quite rightly as well.
It was a penalty.
If you watch the fucking... You'd like back and you're just like, this is what I mean. Like, England would... Or the Allies were giving it as good as anything. And then, yeah, you literally hacked a man down in the penalty box. Yeah. Didn't get anywhere near the fucking ball.
It was the Argentinian guy.
Yeah, and the protesting as well. It's just like that was clear. Like, if I was Max von Sydow, I would have been like, fucking, I saw that in 17 fucking angles again. And it was like, everyone fucking saw that.
Yeah. We haven't really mentioned them. There's the head of like the escape committee there in the crowd, and these two guys, like the one that makes the putt, basically the Donald Pleasance and the Richard Attenborough characters, are there being like, we're doing that. Well.
People don't speak like that anymore. I say miss, like I was ever about when people did.
What, but when they speak like this and everything's very proper?
Yes.
Yes,
hello.
Well, maybe the next episode that's how I should talk, just to piss you off. Make you not miss it one bit.
It's just a kind of like, there's this, it's that sort of, you know, I probably do sound like a Brexiter when I go, yeah, just missing that sort of like stiff British upper lip, you know what I mean? And just, now everyone talks like this.
And it doesn't make you sound like a Brexiter whatsoever. Like, guess what's going to be the teaser credits? they give away a penalty, and Sylvester Stallone, instead of scoring the winning goal, saves the goal that the Germans would have scored that would have won them the match.
Which is the Rocky ending. You know what I mean? It's like,
that's a very good point, yeah.
No, nobody wins, but they do win because they went the distance.
They went the distance, and then when the stadium's getting flooded, he's like, Rene, we did it.
And the resistance legs it onto the pitch with the crowd fucking rioting, and cover up the players so they can literally like bunger them out.
Now let's look at this from a different angle. Let's look at it from 17 different angles.
Let's look at it from Max von Sydow's angle.
Shoot the crowd. Shoot one person.
Oh, mate, I see it literally. Because there's fucking 100 soldiers there.
You see it when they're setting up. No one else. Everyone's just like.
As soon as one foot steps on that pitch, that would have been like that would have been like fire on, you know, shoot on sight. The thing is, when that kid runs onto the pitch in, at the beginning of the match and gives Stallone the flowers or something like that.
That would have been it. That would have been the first body down. They'd have been like, right, guys.
That would have been like, right, set the example.
Have you ever seen the footage of the kid that runs on to hug Sonny Bill Williams at the end of the World Cup?
I think so.
Oh, man. A steward just... And this kid's probably 10. And a steward's like, well, my job is to stop this happening. Bam! And right in front of Sonny Bill Williams, who's like... You can see in his eyes he wants to hit this guy. And he's like, right, kid, I'm going to put you in my arms. I'm going to take you back to your parents. But also, you get my World Cup winning medal. But the thing is, if that steward's job was tackle that kid, these Nazis would have just eviscerated. It would have turned into Bloody Sunday. And that's not a joke. Yeah. That's not like, ha, 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 Bloody Sunday. That's just like, that's the level it would have been if this was a real movie.
Well, yeah, because you're just thinking, right, there's what? Did they actually have any subs?
They do. They've got so many subs, but they didn't want to take off Pele.
All right, so let's just say there's let's say there's 18 players from the POWs.
Okay.
And you can even round it up to like 20 to make it a nice round number. So you've got 20 prisoners of war, as well as all the fucking, because you've got all the people in the stands as well. You've got like Montgomery and all that fucking whatever the name are. The colonels and the captains.
Yeah.
So there's probably about 30 POWs in this fucking place that are now being swept out by the crowd.
And this is what they counter. Sorry, I cut you off.
No.
But this is what they counter in The Longest Yard, where James Cromwell, the farmer from Babe, is like, "We've got snipers on every roof. If anybody tries to leave with the crowd, they're dead." And I feel like that whole bit was written just because of this movie.
Probably, yeah. But it's one of those things as well. It's just like, all right, okay, so you've got out, and then the movie ends.
Yeah, that's it. They escaped. Like, they escaped to victory.
It's like, okay, you got... Well, they didn't, because they...
Wait, are you suggesting that the Germans won the war?
Well, no. It's like, when Michael Caine throws the flowers up into the stand, he's like, for victory. And he's just like, but you didn't win.
No, you didn't.
Like,
you drew.
You drew.
Escape to a 4-4 draw, no extra time.
Yeah, like, where's the... That's the thing. It's like, give me extra time.
Yeah, maybe.
Golden goal. Give me penalties.
Well, that's it, but then we'd have lost.
Well, exactly. So it's kind of like... I don't get it, because the whole thing about it was they wanted to get back up there so they could win. It's like, oh, we can win. But you didn't. You could have fucking escaped through the fucking tunnels already.
And this is the other thing.
That's the thing I don't fucking get.
This is the other thing, though. It's like the whole, like, oh, you're not going to escape at halftime? Oh, you're going to go play the match? It's like, yeah, but the hole is still going to be there at full time, guys.
There is that, and... I suppose the thing about winning or drawing at least, and then getting the crowd come on so you can get the POWs out of the stands onto. So I suppose that maybe is actually the better result.
Yeah.
But it's such a Mickey Mouse ending.
Oh, it's just a real clickety clack ending.
Yeah. Okay. And it's just one of those things where, all right, so you can imagine a writer's room, everyone's standing around having a fag. And it's like, right, okay, so then we drew, and everyone legs it out of the stadium. All right, and then what?
It's lunch.
Yeah, fuck it. Oh, it's 5:00. Oh, shit. All right, let's go. Oh, let's just wrap it up. That'll do. And then you're just like, all right, okay, cool. See, that you could have had, you know, the next bit of it, like, you know, them getting out or showing them wherever they end up, but it's just like, all right, you drew, you're out the stadium. Yeah. Now what? It's like...
No, it probably is like, and they all lived happily ever after.
It felt a bit like that. It's just like,
I mean, you're still in Nazi-occupied France. You still sound like Michael Caine or Sylvester Stallone. I mean, you know, maybe the Norwegian guy's got a chance, but the rest of you are fucked.
Yeah, so you could have had, like, a sort of, maybe like a Defiance kind of sequel. Where, like, you know, Daniel Craig. It's Defiance, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can have them all join the resistance now and fucking shit up in Paris.
I've never actually seen that film. I just know that Daniel Craig's in it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's an alright movie.
Yeah. I mean, is it better than Escape to Victory?
Probably. I imagine most movies
is
are.
Is it a coherent plot? Then yes.
So final thoughts.
This is the oldest film we've ever done. And
probably, actually, yeah.
It will probably remain as the oldest film we ever do, because films made back in this time are so much different in, like, the filmmaking language than the films we are so used to. That kind of 90s rumpin' pumpin' hit it and quit it kind of.
Yeah, I'd say our sort of our mesh of tastes are sort of round about the 90s.
About that, yeah. And
very early 2000s.
But those films are kind of very get in, get out, 90 minutes bosh. Fights in 10 minutes. No, it doesn't make sense, but my God, it's fun. Whereas this is trying so hard in the 80s to be a film from the 60s that it's just getting lost in this amalgamation of, all right, well, we need to be a really serious POW film because, you know, we need to include those Eastern European labour camp workers. But we also need to be a comedy because Pelé's going to do a thing with the blackboard and everyone's going to go, ha, 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 ha. But we also need to be an escape movie because Sylvester Stallone, we need to follow his tangent. And he needs, of course, he needs a love story. But it has a really good final quarter, and that final quarter I really enjoy. I think the film's bad, but then saved by 30 minutes of good. And
bang average at best. Now it's kind of like jumping on this movie. No, as you kind of said rightly at the beginning, like, nobody wanted to fucking make this movie. So John Huston, he hated it.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone only signed up because John Huston was directing.
Right.
Michael Caine only signed up because he would get to meet Pelé.
Brilliant.
So no, and John Huston, as we said at the beginning of the podcast, only did it for the paycheck. So nobody's bringing their A game for this movie.
And that's why no one does the, like, oh, I'm going to trim down my shoulders or stomach to make myself look like a real good movie. What I do find funny, interesting, whatever, is that this is probably one of the only films I can think of where you couldn't substitute Sylvester Stallone for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Then becomes a secret spy movie, because that guy's accent isn't working in a POW camp.
No, yeah, because you're like, right, you're the only American here, and you're like, hang on a second. It's like, what year is this?
It's 1944, like, 1945?
1944. And he's been there for over a year. Minimum.
Yeah.
But, you know, when did the Americans enter the Second World War?
Now you're asking. 1944, 1945?
So, you're kind of a bit like, hang on, what are you doing here? Like,
yeah.
Why is there an American in a POW camp?
That's a very good point. I mean, again, it depends. It's tough to compare it. It's tough to compare it to The Great Escape. It's very easy to compare it to The Great Escape. In The Great Escape, obviously, Steve McQueen, James Garner, and the other guy are there. But that's based on history, so I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know when the Americans joined the war. After Pearl Harbor. Whenever Pearl Harbor was.
Let's have a real quick Google. Right. Well, when did the Americans join? Oh, actually, we really don't know. The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was in 1941. So, fair enough. So fair enough. Join World War II in Europe. Still the same. 1941. Well, la di da. We should probably do our research.
Maybe. Hey, I'll edit this out. Don't even worry about it.
cut.
But yeah, no. I mean, overall, the film is fine.
I think it's as a final thought, this movie sort of is historic for the football match. It's like, because it's a real kind of weird sort of just a mishmash of things, because you've got like it'd be weird to show somebody who had no clue about this movie, like, right, so did you know that there was a movie with Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine and Pelé playing the fucking Nazis? And then people would be like, what?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, and here's here and here it is. And this is like, if you just showed them that football game, you'd be like, oh, just, that looks like quite a cool movie. Fuck it, I'll give that a go.
That's it.
And then you're like, right, but you've got to sit through an hour and 20 of bullshit to get here.
This film could be a really great hour 20 to an hour and a half.
Craig, I smell a remake. But
you wouldn't even need to remake it. You'd need to just do what Topher Grace did with Star Wars and edit it all into one sweet, like, two-hour movie. But with this, take 2 hours and turn it into an hour and a half. And you just get... You start with the conversation with Max von Sydow. You then bring in the, oh, well, we want extra rations thing. And then Sebastian, I want to play, etc., etc. All the stuff that's there in the POW camp. And you get a really tight movie. It's hampered by the fact that we need to leave the camp and meet Renee, and she's got a son, and all this other junk.
All that was all bullshit. Because all you had to do was just like the fucking British cunts, the captain, could have been like, "Yeah, we got word out to France. We spoke to we've got an inside man. Spoke to resistance. Yeah, it's all set up.
That's it.
All you got to do is this.
That's it. Done. That would have been it.
Done.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't need it. You need an extra filler scene of like, oh, he broke his arm. Or maybe you wouldn't. You know, you could just have it that the goalkeeper's broken his arm. But
Or you can have the Germans go like, look, be a bit rougher on these cunts because we want them to lose.
There you go. So again, taking from the longest yard or whatever. Sabotage them. The best player is their goalkeeper. Don't worry about Pele because, you know, don't worry about that. But take out the goalkeeper, you end their game. Boom, they break his arm. Sylvester Stallone gets brought in. Bish, bash, bosh. Hour and a half.
Yeah, 100%. There we go. Even better. Better story already.
And we call it Escape 2 Victory. This is the sequel. Nice.
Fucking on my desk, please. Friday.
But look, this has been Adam Craig's Good Legend Podcast. This has been our movie on Victory brackets Escape 2. I've been he has been Adam. I've been Craig.
I have been Adam.
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, probably MySpace, I'm sure, and all other Spotify, iTunes, all other major streaming apps. God, I butchered that. We are on iTunes, Spotify, and all other major streaming apps. Adam Craig's Guilty Pleasures Cinema Podcast. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Adam Craig's Guilty Pleasures Cinema. We are on Patreon. More stuff will be coming there throughout the rest of this year. But this has been a dedication to the fallen legend that is Pele. It's been a good time talking to you, the first of 2023. And what are we going to do next week?
Well, I'm not too sure yet. We were toying with the idea of inviting
disgraced journalist Mike Sheen
for a quiz, movie quiz.
Yeah, let's do a...
Let's see if we can peg him down.
You want to peg Mike?
Oh, yeah, just projecting.
But yeah, until next week, where we may do a movie, we may speak to disgraced journalist Mike Sheen. As always, Adam, it's been a 30-minute pleasure preempted by an hour and a half of crap.
It has. See you next time.
See you next time, buddy.
We are watching a movie that we are talking about. So sit back and relax, and it's time to talk about it. Talk about it. Maybe get some popcorn, or maybe some snacks, because we are watching a movie that we're gonna be a-talking about.
It's the Liam Neeson of football.
What, he pissed his pants?
It is movie talk time.